Yeah,
Yeah.
no, I'm a. Yeah, we. I think we got to start right there because what's go? I can't even get it out. What's up with everybody? It's Luxury Knives Bad Take Podcast. I'm with
Rachel,
Rachel.
you waiting for me? I'm sorry, I thought you were gonna bring me in. My bad. He's with Rachel
Hold on,
again.
hold on. One more time.
I'm here
What's up,
again.
Eric? All right, let's start one more time. One more time. What's going on, everybody? It's Luxury Knives Bad Take Podcast. I'm here with.
Rachel, just Rachel, not luxury Rachel.
Yeah, just Rachel. UK Rachel. Rachel.
Hey, Rachel, do you know how many people sent me that post on Instagram about the UK being like the second most miserable country in the world? I swear every American I know sent me that post. Even the ones I don't really talk to.
So what's the first?
Afghanistan.
I don't believe it. It's got to be
How?
America.
I've got to say, how is the UK more miserable than, do you know why, actually? The reason, hang on, the answer just came to me as I was asking the question. The reason the UK is more miserable than the US is because you guys at least have good weather, right? We have grey skies. Even now, it's grey. That's why the US is not above the UK.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Like the U I'm in the US now. I spent my time Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, even India. I was more miserable in India than anywhere else. Like, fuck it, how is India not number one?
That's
Listen,
funny.
first day I was bombarded with taxis. Second day I just let me I don't want to get canceled. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it.
Let's just move on because today's podcast we're talking about Thailand, not India.
Wait. Let's go back to the part to where you told me it's before we started the podcast. She said she never had a Twinkie or a Pop Tart.
Yeah, I've never had a Twinkie. I don't think I've ever even seen a Twinkie in a shop. I see Pop Tarts all the time because, like, in the UK, a lot of shops have like an American section, or we have like American sweet stores. They don't usually last very long. They're usually like pop-up things. I think there's just not enough interest and it's too expensive. But anyway, I've never had a Pop Tart. I've never had Twinkie. I've had Airheads. And what's the other one? Sour Patch. I've had those. Well, do you know what? I'd really like to try eggnog. I'm curious.
Never had eggnog?
No,
What
eggnog.
I'm talking about my accent. So is that like an American thing or like how have you not had it?
Eggnog is American.
Oh, I mean I
I only know it
yeah.
from the movies.
Oh, I mean,
It actual
listen.
egg?
I don't know. I don't know. It don't really taste like it, kind of.
You don't
It's
know what
like,
eggnog is?
no, I know what eggnog is. It's just the taste. It kind of tastes like just like some type of like creamy milk, if that makes
Is it
sense.
alcoholic?
It can be.
How do you make it alcoholic? What do you add to it?
I don't know. I guess like whatever you want, like some tequila, some whatever. But
I'm just gonna ask chat. Chat, what is eggnog?
yeah, I don't know. I've had it many different times, but I try to stay away from it because for whatever reason, it just makes me take a number two. So I try to, stay away from it.
Eggnog number two. Okay. Eggnog is a rich, creamy holiday drink traditionally made with milk, cream, sugar, beaten eggs, and spices like nutmeg or cinnamon. It has a frothy texture because the eggs are whipped. Oh, in some recipes you add alcohol such as rum, brandy, or bourbon.
Yeah, I can
Dessert like
imagine that.
lemon. What? Fun fact, eggnog's origins go back to medieval Europe, where a similar drink called posset was made with hot milk and ale or wine. It became popular in America with the addition of rum, which was plentiful in the colonies.
See, that's exactly. That's why I was sitting there thinking, like, how can that be an American thing? Like, I don't, it just feels like a Europe type of thing.
We, like, around Christmas in Europe, we have a lot of, like, we will make hot drinks with any kind of alcohol beverage, like rum, vodka, gin, you name it. We'll just put it in a hot beverage. Good though.
I think they tired of hearing us talk about eggnog and Twinkies and
yeah. Anyways,
let's get back to business.
Thailand, yeah. So. Thailand apparently had a tropical storm this week. Quite bad. Yeah, in the northern provinces, apparently. So up near Chiang Mai. So it's a good job you didn't go to Chiang Mai, where I was sending you.
You know what? And she told me to go to Chiang Mai, too. And
I ended
up staying down towards, like, Bangkok. Not Bangkok. Towards Pattaya.
Yeah, it hit Vietnam as well.
I saw that. And it said that like three people died.
It says 5 people died, 7 missing, 6,000 people affected, 1,600 household rescue operations are ongoing. The rain is expected to continue into early September. Not a great time, I guess, to be traveling in Southeast Asia.
You know that I put in for a visa about like 4 days ago? I put in for a visa so I could go to Da Nang, Vietnam. And I was going to travel there, take a sleeper bus to get to, what is it called, Hanoi? Yeah, okay. So I was actually going to get caught up in all that.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, it's a good thing I came back to the U.S.
Yeah. Also, you know Thailand now has a digital entry card that is mandatory. It needs to be done 72 hours before arrival.
Could you go into a little bit more detail? What do you mean?
So I think it's kind of like, you know, the one that you do going into the Philippines, the online registration, it gives you a QR code.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I think it's like that. It's called a digital travel arrival card. You do it online. Even if you are visa exempt, you have to do it. It says no paper backups are accepted and immigration will deny entry if you haven't submitted it correctly. So, yeah, anyone going to Thailand, that's something you have to do now.
It's crazy because when I ask ChatGPT or whatever, you know, usually I do a little bit of research before I go to any country I'm going to. And ChatGPT, it lied to me, told me that I didn't need a visa, but I actually did.
Oh.
Wait, let me back up a little bit. It told me that I didn't need to submit any former paperwork or whatever. So when I got there, the immigration person was like, where's your visa? They sent me to the back of the freaking line. I had to fill out the paperwork. And I also didn't have an onward ticket, kind of like we talked about in the last episode. So, yeah, I went through hell. I stayed at the airport for about 2 hours. But, yeah, like she said, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this just got introduced today. So it's fresh.
Yeah.
Thailand and Cambodia, obviously last episode I mentioned about the conflicts and that there'd been a lot of mine incidents. So it basically says that travelers are advised to avoid any travel within 50 kilometers of the border between Thailand and Cambodia. So yeah, just got off the back of last week. And then the last thing for Thailand that I found is Thailand is apparently a hotspot for travelers making weird insurance claims, specifically Australian travelers, who apparently their insurance claims went up 43% this year for things like monkey bites, dog bites, missed flights due to traffic jams, and even tripping over a phone charger in a hotel room. So I guess
that's
a reminder to have your travel insurance. Don't be like me, even though I never actually need my insurance, but You should absolutely have travel insurance in Southeast Asia. I was a bad example.
So let me ask you this, because me and you are more experienced when it comes to traveling, but a lot of people in the US will not understand what you're talking about when you say travel insurance. What exactly is that? How do you go about getting it? And what do you get from it? Like, what are you getting out of it?
So basically, if any travel insurance can cover you for a wide range of things, anything from personal injury and illness to lost luggage, missed flights. If you get stuck in some kind of like a hurricane or a tsunami, things like that. Each insurance is different. You can go online, you can just search like insurance, you put where you want to go, you put in any health conditions you have. They'll ask you a whole lot of information about yourself and then they'll give you a price. So some of them are quite cheap, some of them are more expensive, some of them you have to pay in excess. So you would pay like, I don't know, the first $500, for example. It really does vary, to be honest. I don't have any like health conditions, so I guess my insurance is usually cheap when I get it. Except when I went to the US, it was very expensive going to the US. One of my close friends, she has had leukemia twice, and her insurance, if she goes anywhere, is in the thousands.
Oh
It's
my
more for
God.
her to pay insurance than it is for her holiday.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but if you are going to Southeast Asia, you want to really get insurance that includes, of course, illness and injury. And specifically, see, try and get it so it includes motorcycle accident injury, especially if you're going to be hiring a motorcycle, which you probably will if you're backpacking because it's the cheapest way to get around. But even if you are just getting a grab. But actually, I noticed when I went to Thailand, when you book through the Grab app, you can actually opt into an insurance on there. I don't know if you've seen it when you were there, but you
Yeah,
pay
you
like an
can.
extra 50 pence or something, and it covers your insurance on the bike.
What? So you're telling me, right? If I'm in Thailand, right? And I'm on the back of a motor scooter, and somehow my driver just doesn't know what they're doing, and we end up falling, there's no way I could sue him. I'm just out of luck because I had
Yeah.
no insurance.
Pretty
Even
much.
though. Even though it wasn't my fault that we fell, but I still,
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Wow, I didn't know
Yeah.
that.
And I've actually met like a couple of people. I met a couple of people when I was in Vietnam, who'd also traveled Thailand. Pretty much everyone I met had had some kind of motorcycle accident, even if it was just like mild. But I met someone who almost lost their finger, and he was young. I think he was only like 16 or 17. He almost lost his finger in a motorcycle accident. And then I also met a guy who'd been in an accident because someone hit him with a car when he was on the bike. And
What?
he'd gone to the hospital, and the hospital wouldn't even take his insurance, and they wouldn't treat him until he paid up front. So I don't want to say like don't get insurance, because it's always better to have insurance than to not have it. But sometimes you can have insurance and it doesn't even matter. You have to
That's what I
pay
was
out of
sitting
your
there
pocket
thinking.
anyway.
Yeah, because a lot of these people are just money hungry. Like, I don't think they care about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I see it definitely is important, especially if you have, these specific illnesses,
Yeah. So that's on insurance. So that's my updates on Thailand. I have been reminiscing about Thailand for a few weeks now. I'm going on my phone and looking at old photos, and I'm like, I just want to be back in Thailand. Out of all the countries I've been to, Thailand is my favorite by far.
Yeah, me as well. And that's why, before we get into our stories, let's talk about some travel hacks. Because
Okay.
we love travel hacks.
We do.
Especially you. You more the pro at it. You're the pro at it.
I'm sure there's still things I can learn.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah, because when we brought it up before, it was like, you know, almost all my hacks. Especially the VPN one. It's crazy because far as the VPN hack, I was in India and I was actually trying to find a way to get back towards Cebu, Philippines. And I was like, damn, like, why is it so expensive? Like, I think it costs like $293. And I was like, I'm not paying that much for a flight. So I was like, okay, like, can I stop back in Bangkok? Because, you know, that airport is pretty cheap. Then from Bangkok, could I go to Vietnam, try to skip from Vietnam back over towards that way? It still was expensive. So then I was like, what the hell is going on? So then I checked the bottom of the page. Let me show you. I'm going to switch to the main screen. Matter of fact, I forgot we wasn't on video. I'm going to have to cut that part out.
I'm on video.
Yeah, but it's only recording the audio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when I looked to the bottom of the Google page, it had Pakistan on there, like the currency. So because I had Pakistan on there, it was charging me more money, I guess, like far as their currency, just to get over towards, you know, the Philippines. So I said, wait, hold up. Mind you, this is 4 hours later. So then when I switched from Pakistan to Baht, tell me why everything dropped almost $200. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like how I learned, like when it comes to the VPN thing. That was just me changing it on Google. But also when I changed it on my VPN, the prices changed. Now, is it legal? I don't think so. Is it?
Is it illegal? I don't think it's illegal. Should I ask chat?
Yeah, let's ask chat. I'm gonna chop in between this part too. I think it is illegal. I think you can get banned from places.
No, it's generally not illegal to change a VPN to book flights.
Even though, because certain currencies get certain discounts or whatever, depending on your location.
It's not illegal. No, it's not.
So basically, moral of the story is, if you use a VPN and you change your location, you could get different prices. Yep. I'm not telling y'all to do it. Now, it says it's also, not.
Also, turn off your cookies, go on an incognito. That helps as well.
You know, that's a good hack right there, because a lot of people don't even know what cookies are. Like, they just always click accept cookies. Whenever you do that, you're basically leaving a digital trail. So if I went on the internet, right? If I went on Google and I went to go search up a flight, Miami to LA, Google already knows that I went and searched that up. Cookies.
So next time
you go to go do it, it already knows and it's going to double the price on you. Mm-hmm. So make sure, and also, like she said.
Yeah, and also people don't know that you can reject cookies. You don't have to accept them. You can reject them and still use the site.
Yeah, you can reject cookies. But also, like, cookies is also like when, what's the best way to put it? Like, you ever sit there, be sitting there, I'm gonna have to cut that part out too. Oh my God. My mind is going blank.
Try again.
All right. All right, let's reset.
Take two.
It's also like when you basically, like, let's say if you went on Google and you searched something up, like a pair of shoes or a toothbrush or something like that. Now you're seeing down your Instagram, Facebook timeline, people brushing their damn teeth, like just people, all types of stuff like that. So you can reject this stuff, like she said. You don't have to accept it.
Yeah.
So to get on to the next hack is, well, this is not a hack, but TSA is now adding family lines, which I think is a good thing. Now, I don't know if y'all have been inside of an international airline. Oh my God. I'm fucking up today. You know what it is? These headphones is fucking like, it has like this cancellation thing. And it's like,
are you really gonna blame your headphones for the mistakes your tongue's making?
It's because I'm fucking speaking fast and then I'm thinking.
Because I'm American.
All right. All right.
I'm joking. Please don't leave.
Nah, I won't leave. All right. So far as the next one, TSA is actually adding in new family lines. Now, when I was in Vietnam, I was pissed off. It was like a family of like, I think it was like 8 people. And like the father, he had like 8 passports in his hand. So I was sitting there thinking like, okay, I'm already late to my flight. And this motherfucker got 8 passports in his hand, you know? So it's a good thing that they're adding in the family lines, you know, so these people could, you know, be prioritized that way. And I could get straight to my flight, you know? Have you ever been in a situation like that?
So in Europe, we already have family lines. So I'm very happy to hear that the US is catching up.
Yes. Well, thank you.
I don't know if you remember when I spoke to you last time, when I was telling you about my story of how I got denied entry into the US and deported. And when I arrived in LA airport, the first thing I noticed was that they didn't have family lines or priority lines or anything like that. Even if you were a green card holder, you had to go in the same line as the tourists.
Yep.
I don't know why it's like this. I was waiting in that queue for like 2 hours. Like one guy, literally this old man had fainted in the line and he was so close to the front. And then there was like 12 doctors around him. And I don't want to say it's because he was waiting in the line for 2 hours, but I mean, geez.
Yeah, no, that'll happen. Same thing like in our DMV in the United States. Like when you go there, you're going to be sitting there a good 5 hours. Like you can see, like the moment you walk in there, like whatever security guard was there, you're going to see the next one come in for his shift. That's how long you're in there. You're going to be in there. So the second one, I usually use this one like when I'm not traveling too frequently. It's the Clear subscription. You can actually get that online on the Clear website. Really what Clear is, see, I don't know how to explain this stuff the way you be doing it. You do it so flawless.
Clear subscription. I don't think I know this.
Yeah, so the Clear subscription, you basically could go on the internet and just type in Clear, airplane, or whatever. They give you like a 2-month free subscription. And basically, it allows you to skip the line in front of everybody else. I'd say there's not that many people that have it. So you'll see maybe like 3 people in front of you. But yeah.
How much is the subscription?
Now, the subscription, I think, is about almost like $200-$300 a year.
Oh. I guess if you travel a lot and you really hate waiting in lines, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, $300 is a lot.
It is a lot, but if you take into account, You also have TSA PreCheck, you know, that's out there. So I think if you have TSA PreCheck, you kind of don't even really need the CLEAR. But I think CLEAR is also good because for the people who do have TSA ClearCheck, they definitely don't have CLEAR. So it's just an easier way to get through the line.
I guess that's a good hack, especially if you're traveling with like children, or if, I don't know, you're like neurodivergent and you don't have the patience like me. I guess that would be good.
Yeah. So
And
that
you have the
goes
money.
back in. Oh, sorry.
And you have the money.
Yeah, if you got the money, yeah, do it. I mean, our next one is TSA PreCheck. You know, like I said, if you are from the United States, all you have to do is just go on TSA PreCheck. They have a website and they have an app. If you basically put all your passport information in there ahead of time, and you put the location that you're going to be going to, they have a specific line just for that. And you don't have to worry about standing in the general public line. You'll be in line for maybe 3 minutes. You get straight through TSA.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's pretty dope. My next hack. Now, I don't know about y'all, but usually I take a long ass time, like when it comes time to like getting ready to go to the airport and even getting to the airport. So sometimes, even like when I book my flight, you know how it asks you, like, will you need assistance getting to your gate and stuff like that? Like, basically, do you want a wheelchair? Now, every flight that I book, I always put that I need a goddamn wheelchair. Now, why do I do that? There might be a time where I'm late as shit, and if you in a wheelchair, they'll push you in front of everybody.
You're joking.
And no, seriously, I'm not lying. There was this one time, right? I was supposed to be going to Atlanta, Georgia. I missed the flight and everything, but I was standing in line, and this motherfucker, he looked like he was about my age, was in a wheelchair, rolled past everybody. And I was like, you know what? Next time I'm about to be late or anything, I'm just gonna put on my ticket that I need a fucking wheelchair. Every single time I'm flying past people, line long as shit. I'm flying past
Wait,
people in a
so
wheelchair.
you wait, so you rock up at the airport, there's a wheelchair for you, and you just sit in it and they wheel you
You
through the
got
airport.
goddamn right. If you gotta go to the candy store, you gotta go to the bathroom, you gotta go to your gate. The only thing is, you gotta make sure you don't fucking stand up by accident.
Fine.
Yeah.
You gotta act the part.
You gotta act the part. Yeah. I
That's
kind of messed
hilarious.
up when I was, listen, I was in the Cebu, Philippines airport. I did it. But I don't know if you know, my book bag is about like 85 pounds. So like when they picked it up, they said, oh my God. Like, because if I could carry that around, obviously I could walk.
You're clearly not disabled.
Yeah. So, I
So what
mean,
do you
that's
do when
where
you get there? Do you just start like hobbling so you look disabled and they don't suspect? Because you can't just walk up to the wheelchair and then sit in it.
No, so when you first go to the airport, when you get to the check-in desk, they're going to ask you, I guess like it pops up on the screen. But they'll usually say, "Hey, we see here that you requested for a wheelchair agent or something like that." And you just wait there for like 2 minutes. They come, you just sit down, and that's it.
That's wild.
You
I've
your
not heard
wheelchair
that one
around
before.
everywhere.
I've
Listen.
definitely not heard that before, but hey, I'll take it. I respect. I mean, if you're running late, you're running late.
Yeah. Listen, it never fails. Clear is good because you don't have to worry about all the people that's in TSA pre-check. TSA pre-check is good because you don't have to worry about general public. The wheelchair method is really good because you could just ride past everybody. Like, I don't know. I think the wheelchair method is faster than both, to be honest.
Yeah. Imagine everyone's gonna hear this now and everyone's gonna request a wheelchair. You're gonna have like 12 wheelchairs pulling up.
You know, But I really didn't start doing it after, like, when I said, you know, I missed my flight and I seen a person at Atlanta, Georgia. I really started doing it, and it was like when I was coming back from my flight in Cartagena, Colombia. I just seen like all these chicks, just all these good-looking girls, just all just in wheelchairs, and I was like, how do, like, why are they in wheelchairs? Like, I know they could walk. Then, like, the person that was next to me basically told me that some of them got their butt done, so they can't stand up.
I was about to say.
Yeah, but they was basically going past everybody. And if you've been in Cartagena, Colombia, the immigration line is ridiculous. It's gonna take at least 2 hours to get through. So, yeah, that's my travel hacks. I didn't say everything as nicely as Rachel when she does the news.
No, you did great. What do you
No, I
mean?
didn't. Stop lying. I'm gonna have to go back and cut some stuff out. It's not as good as. And we also have a special guest. Would you like to
But
introduce?
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah. Is he here?
Yeah, he's here. He's backstage. Would you like to introduce him?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this is my friend Donald. I don't know if he's gonna want to go by Donald once he gets on here. I'll ask him. But we actually connected through Instagram. I've actually never met him in person, but we communicate somewhat. He plays basketball out in Asia. So he's been in Thailand for a while, but he also has been to China, he's been to Vietnam, and I think now he's back in Thailand again. So he's been out in Thailand longer than you and I have. So it'd be interesting to hear, his experience in Thailand. So yeah, let's bring him in.
All right. Let's do it. What's going on, brother?
Hey.
How are you?
What's up?
Nothing much. It's
Hey.
good to have you, man.
Yeah.
It's
So
late.
I introduced you as Donald, but do you want to be Donnie, Don, Donatello? What is it today?
Donald's fine.
Okay.
Most people Don or Donnie, though.
Don. So I just said how like I know you, Don. Obviously we've never actually met.
Right.
But I said no, you're playing basketball and whatnot. So yeah, I want to hear it from you. Tell us your story how you ended up in Thailand.
I met someone actually through Instagram. That's how I ended up out here. A guy named Kareem Jackson was posting about a league called Warriors League out here in Thailand. And basically it's like a starter league where they have like it's like almost an American league here in Thailand where they like let American players play in a league, but we're in Thailand. And he seen some of my film, and I played in Armenia and Australia, and he was impressed, and he invited me to come play on his team. So that was back in January.
So,
So from January to March.
I want to interject for a second. So, you're a U.S. citizen, right? Okay, so with you going from the U.S. to, I was about to say Colombia, to Thailand to play basketball, is there some type of like special visa or something like that that you need to do that?
No, you don't need a special visa to play basketball here. You need a visa if you want to stay here long term without making a visa run where like you leave the country and come back. But Thailand's getting a little bit more strict with the visa runs.
I said this last week.
But I haven't had any trouble yet. But I could see it coming because I've been here since January. So like I left and I went to Vietnam for a month and a half and I was in Malaysia for 2 weeks in between there. So like to space out my time. But yeah, I haven't had any problems with visa yet.
Okay, that's good.
I like this brother. I like this brother. He said Vietnam. Vietnam is one of my favorite places.
Yeah, we all like Vietnam, don't we? Da Nang as well. Mm-hmm. We all went to Da Nang, I believe.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah, I went to Hanoi and Da Nang.
Yeah. So you said that you've also been in Australia?
Yeah, I've been to Australia. I played in Australia in 2022, and I stayed there for 6 months. I was in Perth.
Okay. So how would you find like adjusting to the Thai culture different from that? Because obviously in Australia they speak English for starters.
It hasn't been easy, I guess. A lot of places you go, you're gonna run into people that don't speak English. But most of the time, like when I'm traveling with my team or whatever, I have a guy that speaks Thai and English. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have as much of a language barrier, I guess you could say, because I got a translator next to me. But sometimes it is difficult to like get anything done if you got a Thai person there that doesn't speak any English.
Yeah.
They're not good with hand gestures or, you know, like, I don't know, visualization or like that.
What percentage of your team is Thai?
Well, I'm in 3v3 right now, 3x3. So
okay.
I would say all of them are.
Okay.
So, like, I have like 4 teammates that we switch in and out, and they're all Thai.
So I wanted to ask you this.
What's up?
Because I'm hearing a lot about basketball. I want to know, like, what's your story? Because it's not normal, you know, to like end up playing basketball out the country. You know, most people's dreams and aspirations is to play in the NBA, you know. Mm-hmm. So how did you end up out the country? How did you, you know, because it's kind of different, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially when you grew up in the U.S., you don't think to do that or go that way. What is your story? And how did you even, like, want to start taking basketball serious?
Well, I didn't make a basketball team until I was in ninth grade, for one. I played baseball up to that point, and then I grew to 6'5", and that's when I switched over.
That's so funny. I grew into the sport.
And I was terrible at the plays, and I didn't learn how to play basketball properly till I went to college, really. I went to Division III college, so like that's part of the reason I'm here overseas, because Division III players don't really, not too many go to the NBA. I did go to a couple open G League tryouts. They have like tryouts through the U.S. every year, where you can like try and get on to an NBA team that way. I made the top 10 a couple times. I was super athletic. Nice. When I was younger. So, like, I met a couple NBA legends. I met Allen Houston, Elton Brand, Mason Plumlee, Doug Ferguson. A lot of people know him.
Yeah, oh, my God. Okay.
I don't know who any of these people are.
He met some legends.
Yeah, so, like, for the New York one, the New York Knicks G League, that one was the most like eye-opening. Like I was like, okay, like I can do this. Like I went into the gym, it's packed. We're in a university in the middle of New York City. I'd taken a train out there. I was staying with my cousin. And basically there was about 250 people in that gym, and they put us on teams, and we're just playing games for like 4 or 5 hours. You're just waiting and you're just playing games. And then at the end, like it started early in the morning. It was like at 8 in the morning, like by like 3 or 4, they like had selected who they wanted. And they listed a list of 10 people and kicked everybody else out of the gym.
So let me ask you this. What was that pressure in between that time of, okay, the list is up. Like, what was that pressure? Like trying to find your name or listening for your name? Like, what was that pressure for you?
It wasn't pressure. I trained for it. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared for the moment, I guess you could say. And I played really well all day when I was there. And I just turned out to be one of the top players.
That's what I'm talking about. So you was pretty confident.
I wouldn't say confident. I just...
Sounds like confident to me.
I've been getting one-on-one training with the trainer before then. So, like, I was in very good shape. And I know, like, when I'm in good shape, like, I'm a very good basketball player.
Yeah.
I'm 35 now, but this past year, I actually got tested for my vertical. My vertical is still 38 inches.
And for the people who don't, people who don't know anything about basketball, what is that?
It means you stand underneath this stick, and they have it measured from how long your reach is, and you have to jump up, and you jump as high as you can and you touch it, and then they measure the distance of how high you jump. So I jumped 38 inches off the ground, jumping straight up and down.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
What is that? Number one in the combine.
Listen, 38 inches sound high.
38 I know inches. I can't do it. That's like 3 foot. That's more than half of my size.
Yeah.
So I want to come back to you actually going out to Thailand. So, like, you went over, you joined the team. Like, did they provide your accommodation or did you have to, like, seek that yourself, like, your meals?
When I came out for the first league, it was a starter league. So I paid $1,200 and he covered my living for 3 months. And then, I got a food stipend too. He basically gave me some of the money back that I gave him so I have money to eat and stuff out here too. And then he put me on, the guy that brought me out here put me on with one of the top teams out here called the CT Tigers. And I played in an outdoor league and they paid me like $500 for like 6 games. And then from there, I went to that combine that I was talking about after the season was over, and I ended up getting picked up by the Shoot It Dragons, which is another 3x3 team out here that's very popular in Thailand.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, because I remember back in January, I think, when you must have first went out there, I just got to Thailand too, and I think I remember watching, I watched your final game. I went to the it was at the university, right?
Yeah, we were in the championship.
Yeah, I actually watched your last game. Yeah, and I used to date someone on the opposing team, right? So I got a lot of insight about like your accommodation and that they were turning people's electricity off.
Oh yeah, that was their team, the Beijing or whatever their name was. They kicked them out before the championship.
No, they did. Like,
because the owner didn't pay their rent with the money that they gave him. So, like, he basically, like, took the money and left, you know? Like, I never even met the guy. I never seen the guy. He never came to Thailand. He's in China running the team from Thailand. He's, like, FaceTiming, like, oh, sub this guy in. He's, like, yelling at them. And they were really disorganized, and that's why they lost.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. Because I think, like, we'd gone out one day when we came back to like the apartment building, like it was just darkness and there was no aircon and it was so hot.
Oh my god.
And I think there was one of the guys, they'd done it to him like the day before. And when he got back to the apartment, they'd taken all of his stuff, all of his luggage. Like, he had nothing left that he brought with him.
Yeah, they do that at the Pearl Place. Yeah.
It was crazy. They'll take
stuff and hold it until you pay them.
Yeah, they just want more money in it. You just have to be careful. Have to be careful. So, are you in Bangkok right now?
Yeah, I'm in Bangkok.
Okay, so whilst you've been in Thailand, have you spent the whole time in Bangkok, or have you kind of ventured to other places?
Yeah, I've been in Bangkok most of the time. When I'm here in Bangkok, I'm hooping. Like, I'm in a contract, or like, I have to stay. I can't go too far because, like, I have games on weekends, and the lady that I work for, she wants me to stay close so we can practice. We practice like 2 or 3 times a week, depends on the coach. And
what do you think about the nightlife in Bangkok? Have you been to Sugar?
Yeah, I've been to Sugar. Sugar Club is like an American club, I guess you could say, and they play a bunch of American music, and they have tables you can rent out. After we won the championship, we actually went to Sugar and bought like a table and 2 bottles.
I was there.
Oh, you were? Oh, shit.
So, like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, Sugar's okay. I mean,
I like bathrooms. No,
did you ever go with Sugar now?
Hell no, this is my first time hearing about it. Listen, y'all selling me too.
Sugar's like a huge, it's like a well-known club in Bangkok. It has a couple of floors. Like, you kind of come in, and once you pay your entry, you go into this lift, this like old style lift where they pull the cage across, and then they take you up to the floors.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
So they have like 2 floors, but then you can also go downstairs and they play like Afro beats and like that kind of music. But it's definitely full of sex workers. Yeah. Oh my God. Lady boys, they're all in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's good vibes. Hey, it's good vibes, good music. Which actually... Sorry.
No, I was saying Bathrobes is nice.
Afros, yeah, downstairs.
So I want to ask you this, right? What is dating like been for you in Thailand?
I was gonna ask this.
Are you dating anybody? Has it been hard?
Yeah, I haven't really dated anybody seriously. Oh shit, my phone's too hot. Yeah, I haven't dated anybody really, because Thai girls are a bit possessive, and
I think
we lost him for a second.
Yeah,
you know, I talk to my friends back home, and it's basically like a telephone.
All right, we back.
So,
So I want to ask you, what is it like dating in Thailand?
It's a little bit frustrating, I guess you could say. A lot of the girls are like kind of possessive. Just thinking about it is giving me a little PTSD, but
like, he's rubbing his head for those who can't see.
They just, I don't know, they want all your attention. Like, as soon as you start talking to them, like, they're calling you every day. Like, I don't really like talking on the phone in general, but like, they're calling you every day. And like, I only lasted a week, and that was it. I was good off that.
It kind of sound like the Philippines, because I feel like that's how the Philippines is. Like, it's like, kamusta ka? Where are you? What are you doing? It's like every single day, where are you?
I think also they see Americans and they think, ooh, money.
Yeah, they got the wrong one for that.
So have you only dated like Thai women? Have you met any other tourists there? Any other travelers living out in Thailand?
Yeah, I met a couple tourists, I would say. I met this, I actually met this nice girl from Australia like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And she was nice. I talked to her for like a week, but she was only here for like 2 weeks. So
that's the only thing with travelers, isn't it? It's always, there's always an ending.
Yeah, they're always
there. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I kind of like dating like that though. On the low, a lot of people don't like it, but I don't know. I like feel it. Like you do.
It's all right.
I do. Depends. Yeah.
What you're looking for?
I mean, I would love to have a travel partner, but that's wishful thinking. That's probably never going to happen. So I just have to deal with what I can get.
Yeah, I feel that.
It's sure. Like I said on last week's podcast, like I like to date when I travel. I like to meet people, even if like I meet someone and it's not that serious. Like, it's a good way to connect with people. And when I, because Bangkok was the first place I landed in Asia, and I think it was like my second day there, I matched with a basketball player. And so the 2 weeks I was there, like, we hung out quite a bit, we dated. And then I went traveling Thailand for like another 5 weeks or so. And then I actually came back to Bangkok to see him again. So that's why I ended up going to Bangkok twice. But even then, even when I first met him, like, I knew it was, there was always an ending to it. And that's okay.
Yeah. Like, Bangkok's right now,
dating.
I think, oh, sorry, what were you saying, Don?
Nah, nothing.
There's this girl that I met in the Philippines, and she's pretty cool, you know. Like, as far as relationships, I try to look for people with a great personality, because I feel like if I can't really deal with your personality, you won't last at all, not even a day. So we talk for a little while. Yeah, I don't, and you know, I don't never tell nobody about my dating life at all. I keep it personal, but I feel like that it's not possible for me, especially like when it comes to me wanting to go to Vietnam, or me wanting to go to Pakistan, or me wanting to go to Europe or Thailand or whatever. It's just not possible. You know what I mean? Unless I'm actually stationed there. It's not possible.
Yeah. So what is, for both of you, this is a question. What is your favorite thing about Thailand?
My favorite thing?
He's like, basketball.
I ain't gonna lie. I'd say just the weather, the food. Just the experience all in total. I think the culture. But at the same time, I think, like, I don't know, I like some of the women I was hanging out with. You know, they made it easy for me to get around.
Thailand has got some beautiful women, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
They're just possessive.
You know
He's like, yeah.
And I keep hearing people say, like, the lady boys are so pretty, you can't even tell.
They are.
I can fucking tell. No, I can tell. To me, that's a lie. I can tell. Like, when I see him, I know that's a dude.
Some of them, but some of them, like, they look like women. They look more like women than I look like a woman.
You got to be somebody that comes from, like, a farm or something like that, like, where you never really been in the city to, like, see one. Then you go to Thailand and be like, wow, she's so beautiful. Then you wouldn't know. But, man, you lying. You lying if you say you didn't know that was a dude.
There are some that could pass as actual women. I've never had that issue, personally.
Do you have a story here?
No, I don't have a story. There's no story.
I was actually walking from I was in Pattaya, Soi 6, and I was walking trying to get towards the walking street because I was meeting up with some friends, and one of the lady boys actually grabbed my dick. He said, hi, like, I was just walking down the street, and he was like, hi, how are you? I said, hi, and I'm speed walking as I'm saying it. He was like, where are you from? Because he caught up to me, grabbed my arm, and I was like, New York. I always lie and say I'm from New York. And I'm still speed walking, and he holding on to me. And I was like, no, thank you. No, thank you. He said, big neck, and basically just grabbed me up. And I said, whoa. And I noticed in that moment, everybody looked at me. And I was told before, if you put your hands on a ladyboy, the whole community will basically jump on top of you.
Damn.
And that's the first time it happened. It happened to me twice.
So, out of all the countries that you visited, like, is that the first time you've been sexually assaulted? Let's call it that.
Yes.
That's so interesting because out of all the countries that I've been to, including my home country, Thailand is the first country where I wasn't catcalled, I wasn't groped, I didn't feel unsafe. Like, Thailand's the first country. Yeah, it seems to be the opposite for you.
Mm-mm, they out of control. Just, it was the other day, I think it was like 6 days ago, I was walking down Soi 6 again. Mind you, because if you're coming from, like, the, they have, like, this market, it's called the Bazaar Market. Like, you could get, like, wholesale bags if you're trying to get, like, luxury items and stuff like that. You know, like fake Gucci, this, that, all that stuff is in the Bazaar Market. So usually I'm walking from that way and you end up in Soi 6, then you end up on a walking strip, Pattaya. So I was walking and, like, you know, a couple of the girls was grabbing on me, trying to pull me in a bar, you know, as usual. Then it was this one person just grabbing me like from the back of my neck. And I was like, oh my God, let me go. You know, just regular stuff, you being grabbed. So then, like, I noticed, I'm like, yo, why can't I get out of this grip? You know, like, and I was like, all right, let me just go into the bar because this girl got a tight grip on me. So I go into the bar. I said, let me get that. I pull my money out. I look to my left. There's a whole lady boy. I'm like, it makes sense why I couldn't get out that grip. It's like somebody had me in a headlock or something. Like, yeah, I can't. Lady boys, I can't.
Nobody's been that bold to grab onto me like that.
They could reach your neck. What do you mean? They're like 5 foot.
Yeah, I'm like 6'5". So
I actually felt tall in Asia. I've never felt so tall in my life.
Exactly.
So, Don, what's your favorite thing about Thailand?
I like the friends I've made. The Thai guys. I played for the top league actually last month, the BTL. I played for the Royal Thai Air Force. And the guys I met there were real good guys. Probably some of the better friends that I've met since I've been here. I like the camaraderie that comes with basketball.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think that kind of highlights that the people, I think, are probably the best thing about Thailand. They're just really wonderful people, very hospitable, very polite, very respectful. As I said, I remember when I was in the north, I actually left my bag somewhere by accident with my phone and my purse and everything in it. And I went all the way back to my accommodation, got into bed and realized I'd left it, and then went all the way back and someone had picked it up and put it to the side for me with everything still in it.
That's crazy.
I was like, that would never happen anywhere else. It would have been gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. In the United States, you got about 15 seconds.
Yeah. In the UK, it's just in your hand and they'll take it. Like, you don't even have to leave it anywhere.
Oh my God.
But my favorite things about Thailand, because Thailand is my number one country, I feel like it's an all-rounder. You can, anything that you're looking for, you can find there. So the culture, their culture is very rich. Their food is amazing. Personally, I think Thai food is one of the best cuisines in the world. If you go to the south, you've got the beaches. If you go to the north, you've got the mountains and the wildlife. You go, like, Bangkok. I'm not a city person, but Bangkok is probably my favorite city I've ever been to. It's the first time I'd been to a city that was just like skyscrapers. And I remember like going to a rooftop bar and just 360 around you is just skyscraper for as far as you can see. But then they've still managed to keep the nature within the city. Like, you've probably seen yourself, they build some of the buildings are built around the nature and they're like intertwined together, which just looks amazing. And yeah, like I said, the people, and it's cheap, so cheap.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I highly recommend everyone goes to Thailand at least once. But don't just do your typical Bangkok, Pattaya, PP, Phuket. Go north. I keep saying this to everyone, go north, because it is so much better. The food is better. The nature is better. It's cheaper. So much more to do. I did so many things in the north compared to the south.
I don't know.
What city did you go up north?
So I went up to Chiang Mai, and then from Chiang Mai, I went to a place called Pai, which is probably my favorite place on the planet, to be honest. If you are someone who's very free-spirited and artsy and into wellness, Pai is like the perfect little place. It's like nestled in the middle of the mountains, and you can only get there by bus. You have to take a 4-hour bus from Chiang Mai, and the road that you take has like 600 turns on it. They recommend that you take anti-sickness before you go, and it's supposed to take 4.5 hours. I think I went on, I think it was Chinese New Year, the weekend I went. So they added in an extra bus service that went during the night. And we did it in 2.5 hours. When I tell you, he was speeding around these corners, like overtaking, like it was crazy. I thought I was going to die. but it's worth the journey. It's worth the journey. And then I did this, you can do this down in Phuket, but I just think it's better in Pai. They have tipsy tubing. Maybe you've seen it on my Instagram, but it's probably one of the best experiences of my life. And it's just such a simple concept. You have hundreds of people in giant rubber rings floating down the river with booze, and you stop off, and they'll just have like a bar with a DJ, and you know, you can play volleyball. They've got tug of war, tightrope walking, shit like that. And then you get back in your rubber dinghy and you go back down the river and you go to the next stop. And I did this twice because it was just that good. But the first time I did it, I actually was high on mushrooms, and it just makes you deep everything a little bit more. And it's like, you look on one side of the river and you've got just hundreds of people in bikinis, like in a foam party with a DJ. And then you look on the other side of the river and you see elephants and like people, Thai farmers just farming. And it's just so crazy, like looking at the contrast. And all of the the whole thing is run by the local people. So all the money goes straight back into the community, which I think is just beautiful. So yeah, if you are traveling Thailand, you have to go up there and try it.
Yeah, see, I didn't really get a chance to travel everywhere, because mainly I had to go out to India. And then like when I came back, I just went straight back to Pattaya. I think that Pattaya, even though people try to like over sexualize the place, it's not that bad. Like, it feels like, for me, yeah, for me personally, after meeting a couple people, it kind of felt like home. Like, if you just take the women away,
felt like Philly.
No, not like Philly. Not like Philly. But if you take the women away, it still has, like, you know, the beaches. It still has the mountains. It still has all that other stuff, you know, like, just like the different other parts of Thailand. So,
yeah. I don't know. And it is close to Bangkok. It is a quick journey to Bangkok as well.
And it's affordable. Like, the place I was staying at, she was my Airbnb host at first. Then I asked her, you know, could we come off the app and negotiate a better price? She did it. So, like, I think $491 a month, it's not that bad. Would you say?
Yeah, that's not bad.
I mean, that's what I pay in the UK.
Really?
That's what I pay here in the UK.
That's cheap. That's crazy.
You think so?
Yes, in the United States.
Wait, dollars? Like, oh, wait, dollars. Dollars, hang on. Yeah, okay.
Nah, that's still not a lot, though.
What would you get for that in the U.S.?
Shit.
In Philly. A closet.
Right?
Closet.
A closet. A tent.
Hey, Don, I never asked you, what city were you from?
I'm from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Virginia, okay, yeah. I used to live out Hampton in Chesapeake.
That's where I went to school. I went to school at Virginia Wesleyan.
Okay, yeah, Virginia is beautiful. So let me see.
So that's all the questions for me.
Yeah, that's so. Let me ask you this: if I was somebody, right, you know, like, I'm not really a traveler, or I'm a newbie traveler, or I'm just going out Thailand, what would you put on my itinerary? Like, you know, what would you tell me to, you know, where to go and what to do?
For Thailand?
Yeah.
Well, I only been to Bangkok, so I would say you got to check out the Hangover bar. Even though it's super expensive, if anybody's ever been there, it's crazy expensive how expensive it is. But I went there for my birthday, and I just got appetizers and got up out of there. It's a nice view. It was a vibe still, even though I wasn't trying to spend that much money. But and I would say try some of the night markets.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Koh San Road?
Yeah, I went to Koh San Road actually 2 nights ago.
Yeah, I ate a scorpion there.
You ate a scorpion, man?
I ate a scorpion.
Instagram that ate one, he almost died.
Yeah, it was it was nasty. I'm not gonna lie. If anyone's wondering what the fuck scorpion tastes like, it tastes like dirt, just crunchy dirt. That's what it tastes like. No, when I was looking at it, I had it on the stick for like 5 minutes. I was just inspecting it. And did you know scorpions have hair?
Yeah.
They have hairs on their little snippers, whatever they're called, their claws. They got hairs on them. The guy was like, tastes like chicken. I'm like, bro, does not taste like chicken. Does not taste like chicken. I tried the crocodile as well. Did you try that?
I didn't try any of that crap. They had spider on a stick, snake on a stick.
They're like centipedes.
It's crazy.
I'm not eating the tarantula. Nah.
Yeah, I'm not risking my life. Not like that.
Yeah.
So I want to ask one last question.
Wait, hang on, because I need to add some things on people's itinerary if they're in Bangkok. First of all, you need to go and watch a show at the Muay Thai Stadium. Probably, have you not done that yet, Don?
No, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, yeah. You have to. Like, you have to do that before you leave. It's such an experience. And your ticket gets you, like, bottomless popcorn and bottomless beer. So if for like $20 a ticket, you get a whole cultural experience. And like it's the first Muay Thai stadium in the world, by the way. And the ceiling is like domed and they project onto the ceiling. So it's like just really cool visuals. They give you a history of Muay Thai. They show you like the Muay Thai dances. And then you watch the fights and then they do like audience participation and shit. But then you get your popcorn and your beer. Like, it's so worth it. You have to do it. Also, Wat Arun Temple is a good temple to go to. There is quite a lot of tourists there, but it's really beautiful. And the Buddha.
Oh, yeah, I went to the ancient Buddha. City. That place is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's really big. You need like, you gotta go there like in the morning so then you can see all of it. It takes like 4 hours to see it all.
And also take a Muay Thai class.
I don't know.
No, happened. I don't know if you've ever done martial arts. I'm quite interested in martial arts. Like I did jiu-jitsu for a while when I was in Georgia. But when I went to Thailand, I was like, I need to try a Muay Thai class. And I did not regret it. It was so much fun.
I know TV karate and boxing.
You'd like Muay Thai then if you like boxing.
Yeah, I do like boxing.
She's trying to get you kicked up.
So you can fight off those lady boys.
they don't mess with me like I told you before.
I bet people proper stare at you when you walk around outside being 6'5".
Oh, yeah. It was worse than China. In China, I'm taking 100 pictures before every game I play. It's a photo shoot.
I believe that. I went to China when I was 15 with my school. And even then, like, people were queuing up to take photos of us.
Yeah. Like, we're sitting, like, stretching for the game. They're like, photo, photo, photo.
And why do you think that is? Do you think it's because you're black or just because you're tall? What do you think it is? Or a combination?
Both.
They're thinking I might be a famous player.
Yeah.
And have never seen a black person. So it's either one of the two.
You know, if it makes you feel any better, most of them haven't seen white people either. So
okay, I'm gonna have to check out China. But I think we reached that time. Yeah, we hit that hour mark. I wanna say we got any final questions, any comments?
No, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Anything you want to promote, any updates on any games you want to give us?
Actually, the tournament I'm playing in right now, if we make it to the championship, we don't have to win, then we actually get to punch a ticket to Japan, and we get to play in Japan next week.
Oh, nice. Next week. Oh, nice. Yeah. Living the life, Donnie.
Yeah, chasing the dream.
Let's go. And what's your team name again?
Shoot It Dragons.
Shoot It Dragons. Okay. And what's your Instagram name?
Their Instagram name is Shoot
yours,
It.
Yours.
Oh, Donnie the Blocker. Mine is Dr. Blocker.
Dr. Blocker. Okay.
Did you create that Instagram after you took up basketball?
Yeah, it was the athletic director / person who writes the articles for the school actually nicknamed me that after I got a game-winning block my freshman year.
And love then that.
The following year, I tied the record for single-season blocks, 69. Hey, yo. But,
Dr.
Blocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, nah, good luck. Good luck. Well, this is Bad Take Podcast, Luxury Nas, Rachel, featuring Donnie. Wait, man, we'll let it have you again. Hear about that game. See if you won. Get to hear about your experience in Japan. You know, get more updates on you. And yeah. Sure.
This is cool.
Thanks, John.
All right. Thank you. See y'all. We out.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. That was it.